Word of God from the mouth of Christ right before his ascension, and then also from the mouth of Peter on the day of Pentecost. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Then 50 days later, at Pentecost and Peter's preaching on that day, which we celebrated last Sunday, this Jesus, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. This is the word of God. You may be seated. In Jesus' name. In the Athanasian Creed this morning, we confessed that the one God in three persons is uncreated, infinite, eternal, almighty, such as the Father is, such as the Son, such as the Holy Spirit. This can start to sound like a formula for correct speaking. And that's part of what it is, but that's not the whole story. This is, though, true of this creed and any creed because it deals with an exalted subject that exhausts our human ability and capacity unless we are supported by the very one we are confessing, unless God himself teaches us. And he does this in his word. However, once we start to talk about and confess the personal reality of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is almost like we are leaving the realm of a formula for correct speech, and we begin to use that speech, our words, to show forth that God has a story, which is surprising, which isn't just a formula that you could predict ahead of time. There is something amazing and new within God himself. And this story climaxes in the story of Jesus Christ, found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This story includes you and me. In fact, God speaks our life into existence and that of all creation. And the story starts with God. The story starts in eternity and is always true, with the Son having been begotten of the Father, who is himself the Father, is not made. He is not created. He is not begotten. The Father always has his life in himself. And he, in begetting the Son, has given him to have life in himself. A story of love is what this is. This love from Father to Son, and then always back again to the Father, is so real that it is a person, a divine person, the Holy Spirit, who is not made, he is not created, he is not begotten, but he is always proceeding from the Father and the Son. The thing that I want to highlight for you right now, and I want you to listen carefully to this phrase, is that God in himself receives nothing from anyone. That's part of what the definition of God is. It's part of what it means for him to be the creator. He receives nothing from anyone. The Father exemplifies this truth, and he shows it forth in his own person. And he does it by being the source of the Son and the Holy Spirit in eternity. And now here comes the surprise. The Son takes up what seems new to God. Remember, God receives nothing from anyone, but the Son receives the totality of his personal existence from the Father. He is begotten and so receives his life forever. The Son, having received his personhood from the Father forever, returns himself, gives himself, and puts himself in the Father so that the Holy Spirit is the bond of love and giving and life between the Father and the Son, proceeding from the Father and the Son in all of his inexhaustible fullness. God receives nothing from anyone. But that's the very temptation that we succumb to in our daily lives, even this past week. We want to be masters of our own life and destiny. Basically, we want to be God. We want to run our lives, make our decisions, put our plans into action. We don't trust the real God. We put our trust in all the wrong places, ourselves. We are nothing but breath or dust. But God is the one who gives us to be. He gives us our life, and he gives us to be in his own image. But we put ourselves, our trust in ourselves, our money, our family, our past, our future, anything and everything that's been created, anything and everything that is not God. We care less about correct speech about the true God than we do about getting all the right words to the song that we're listening to on the radio. But it is the gospel story of the Son of God incarnate that is truly a breath of fresh air. He was poor. That's not what we want to be. That's not how we make our own life. But that was his life. He was poor. He was abused because of his family situation. No father. He was abused because of his claim to be the Son of God. He is not only true God, but he is the real man. He entrusts himself totally into the hands of the one who judges justly. His eternal and surprising personal reality of receiving from the Father and then fully giving himself all back with the Holy Spirit is the perfect expression of how it is precisely the second person of the Trinity who became man, who was born of the Virgin Mary after being conceived by the Holy Spirit, who received the Spirit at his baptism in the Jordan River when he received the commendation and the love of his Father in the heavenly voice. He received his human life and received all that he was because this is what he does forever. He receives his existence as the Son of God also. So he is the one who becomes incarnate. He is the one who is our Savior, not the Father, not the Spirit. They save us in the plan. Jesus lived his earthly life anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit on the cross. There he is, receiving again. He's receiving everything from everyone. Abuse and scorn from the bystanders, rejection by the religious leaders, abandonment from his disciples, sin from you and from me. He's receiving everything from everyone at that cross. And what is he receiving there? Suffering. From all comers, from every corner, from everywhere, and silence from God the Father. The Father wants the suffering and dying Jesus to be his ultimate word. The Father there beholds his Son suffering for you and me and the world because the Father wants him there. So the Son, trusting the Father, there's the Son of God, there's the real man, dies and breathes his last breath, and he gives back the Spirit, which is his very own Spirit. The Father, being the source of all things created and uncreated, raised his Son from the dead. The Father is the source of the Son and the Spirit and the source of the universe, as are the Son and the Spirit. The Father raised his Son from the dead, thereby revealing that the crucified Jesus is his very own word, is his very own Son, and he wants to speak. He wants to be heard. He wants to be believed in Jesus. And he's made him, the Father has made his Son, Jesus the crucified and risen one, to be the source of the Spirit for us men in our salvation. The risen Lord says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." God doesn't receive authority. He simply has it. He is it. But Jesus here, as true man, victorious in achieving our salvation, says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And he uses that authority right away to institute baptism, to reveal the triune name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to send the church out to be the Lord of the church and to be the Lord of her missionary movement with the message of the gospel of Christ crucified and risen, given perfectly. That gospel is given perfectly in the missionary sacrament of holy baptism. In the gospel and in your baptism, you have received the Holy Spirit from the crucified and risen Lord Jesus and at his word. You have received your earthly life in body and soul from God too, from the very beginning all the way to the very end. Remember we said about God? He receives nothing from anyone. What about you? You receive everything. You don't give yourself a single thing. You are a creature. And that's what it means to be creature. You receive literally everything from him. Okay? Paul asks the great question, what do you have that you've not received? That list is real short. The Son amazingly receives his eternal sonship eternally from the Father. We receive our existence as creatures in a creaturely way and are created by the triune God, not forever, not timelessly, but with a beginning in time, at our conception, and each moment that God gives us life going forward. But you know, God doesn't stop there. We have been made in his image, and so listen to what he does. We have also been given the ability as human creatures and the gifts necessary to give something back. Yes, we receive literally everything from our Creator and from our Savior, but he also gives us to receive the ability to give something back, to give back, to mimic God himself in giving, to give to those around us the things they need, whether spiritual or bodily, and to give thanks to God himself, to give praise to the one and only God, to glorify and give glory to the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One day during his earthly ministry, Jesus is walking along, Matthew 10, verse 8, and as he was sending out the disciples after he had taught them on a kind of a trial run, a practice missionary journey, this is what they would be doing full time in about 2 years after he was crucified, risen, and ascended, and the Spirit came. They'd be doing this full time. But this practice missionary journey to preach the good news of the kingdom and to heal the sick, Jesus told his disciples as he's sending them, freely you have received, freely give. Paul echoes this in chapter 20 as he's taking leave of the pastors in Ephesus. Many of these men he had identified, many of these men he had taught and trained, many of these men he had placed in their congregations. He would see them for the last time, and he quotes a statement of Jesus that says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Having received literally everything from the triune God, we are privileged to follow Jesus. This is something he does in eternity as the Son. It is something he did in this world as Christ, the crucified and risen Lord. We get to follow Jesus in doing this. We get to give ourselves and all that we have been given on behalf of those around us. Give it out to them and give it all to God. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And how does this begin? It begins by repenting of our sins, giving them to God, and receiving his forgiveness that he speaks into our ears in the absolution. This giving of ourselves out to our neighbor and all to God begins by living in our baptism, which is the good news of the triune name connected to water and applied to you to cover you and your whole life like a bright, shining garment that no one can ever take away from you, not even death. This giving of ourselves out to our neighbor and all to God begins by receiving the word of Christ, Blessed are those who hear the word of God, Jesus says, and keep it. Blessed are those who hear the word of Christ and observe it. An amazing truth is that we give to those around us, to the world who doesn't know us or God, when we confess the truth about the one true God, the triune God, in the creeds of the Holy Christian Church. These have come to you as a gift. You didn't invent them. You didn't give them to yourselves. They come to you as a gift. Freely you have received these creeds. Freely give them. Like the mother I was talking about, she gave the creed to her daughter. Even though it's not easy, and it's a personally tense situation, she gave the creed to her daughter, the truth there. Make these creeds your own. They're not just formulas. They are kind of that, but that's only the start of the story. They are meant to take root in your heart, in your mind, in your life, in your prayers, in your repentance, in your hymns. That's where these creeds are meant to be found, so that they may be found on your mouth, so that you might confess them before the whole world, the truth about who God is and what He has done, what He has given, including even the gift of being able to give to our neighbors around us and all to Him. Amen. At this time, we pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all other people according to their needs. We stand for the prayer of the church. Lord God, you have graciously revealed yourself to us as one God in three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of the creeds that teach us to confess you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Let us never cease to confess this faith in the Holy Trinity, giving glory always to you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, your faithful servant Barnabas generously gave his life and gifts to support the work of the apostles and to benefit the early Christian community in Jerusalem. Grant that we may follow his example in giving our lives to charity and the proclamation of the gospel. Be with the relief agencies of our synod, bless the good work that they do in your name, and let those served be strengthened both physically and spiritually. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you this day for the life that you've given to Arlene Barrett, both in body and soul, as she celebrates her 90th birthday today, not only with family and friends, but before your face, in giving you thanks and praise for your mercy and your gifts that you've granted her throughout her earthly life. Continue to bless and uphold her, that she might confess you in word and deed until she sees you in heaven. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Heavenly Father, look with favor upon the mission fields here and abroad. Let new congregations take root and flourish, that through them the Spirit may bring the lost to the joy of faith in Christ. Be with all missionaries and their families, sustaining them in challenging times. Help us to support them with our prayers and in sharing those gifts you have poured out for us in abundance. Be with Reverend Peter Preuss and the congregation he serves, the Lutheran Church of the Triune God, that they might too make use of your missionary word and that missionary sacrament of holy baptism faithfully and in fellowship with us and other congregations. Lord, in your mercy. Remember, kind Father, all who have been entrusted with public service among our church and school, remembering this day before you, our ESP director, Julie Zemke, and all workers over the summer months, including Martha Kohlberg and Logan Zemke. Send your holy angels to guard and keep them and the children entrusted to their care, and let them be a blessing. Fill them with wisdom and make them a blessing of yours here in our midst. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, send your spirit of comfort to all who are suffering, physical or mental illness, those who are grieving, lonely, or heavy-hearted, especially Sophie Glock, Rick Bymark, Len Slauson, Aaron Rosso, Dorothy Shuddy, Bill Raddins, Gail Ledstrom, Tony Stadler, Bill Wacker, Pam Linton, Jim Bjorgan, and those we name in our hearts before you. Restore health where you see fit. Remember them in your mercy and give them patience in their tribulation. Remind them of the goodness of your grace and your ever-abiding faithfulness to them. Lord, in your mercy. O God, give to us a right spirit as we receive the sacrament today. Let it be a spirit of unity that we may share the bread of life with our neighbors as we go out from your altar. Thank you for this foretaste of the feast to come, when you will invite us in to that joy of eternal life and feasting. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.